You may be seated. We are seeking to teach through the entire Bible in 7 years, both in Sunday school and Sunday morning service and Wednesday night. Probably won't make it, but that's our goal. And we have gone through many of the books already, but we began looking at the book of Joshua a few weeks ago, having concluded our study from the book of Romans. But I mentioned, interesting, going from the book of Romans into the book of Joshua, because we see played out in Joshua in the lives of the children of Israel, I think, the theme of the message that Paul had to the Roman believers. And as we went through the book of Rome, the book to the Romans, we saw that the theme was the just shall live faith. Live. Act. Believe. Have their being. The just shall live by faith. Not just a matter of salvation, that's eternal life, but it's you living out your very life every day ought to be lived out by faith. And as we saw, Paul said this isn't against antagonism toward law. Rather, this all began through your father Abraham. By faith, Abraham. Abraham what? Believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness. So before Moses, before Joshua, there was Abraham. And Abraham lived by faith. And if we wanted to, even at that point, Paul didn't, but honestly, we could go to Hebrews chapter 11, and we could go all the way back to Noah, yes? By faith, Noah? Noah did what? He built an ark. Because it was going to what? Rain. And it was going to rain so much that it was going to flood. Had it rained before? Was there ever a flood before? Was there any indication? And how long potentially did it take to build the ark? 120 years. Yeah. He worked at it for a long time. By faith. By faith. Faith is God's plan from the beginning. It's never been based on works. But my faith is evidenced by my works. And in each one of these situations, our faith, Abraham's faith, Rahab's faith, was borne out by works. Faith without works is dead. Remember we looked last week when we were looking at by faith Rahab, looking at James chapter 2, that even the devils believe and they shudder. See, it's not just believe in your mind. A lot of people have intellectual belief. They know intellectually that there's a God. They know intellectually there has to be a creator. They know intellectually, and I did for 23 years, that Jesus Christ came to the earth, that he died on the cross, that he was in a grave, and that he rose from the dead. But they didn't know God. I didn't know God. I intellectually knew a lot of factoids, but I didn't believe them in my heart. And that's what I can say. This chair will hold me. But what proves to you that I really believe the chair will hold me? If I sit in it or if I stand on it. I mentioned earlier the testimony time about those ladders and crossing over those ladders. Now see, I don't like ladders. I'm afraid God has worked with me on that one and put me on height type jobs. The greatest thing that man has ever discovered and invented was an adjusting ladder. You pay for that. I can adjust the legs of my ladder, and it has a level on it. And so we can adjust our legs, and we can make that ladder level. And so our I would need so, and I will not be looking at them. So now that I'm thinking about it, I have to look at them. Am I better? Okay. Yeah. And we always talk about if I go too long, people want to give me the signs and stuff like that. Don't worry about it. I get so nervous when I'm speaking. I'm not a public speaker that I'm really not looking. If you think I'm looking at you, I'm not looking. I mean, I am right now because I'm talking about this, but I'm looking at the back wall. I'm looking down here. I'm just not looking at people. So I'm looking at you. It's just because I've clouded over the vision, and we're just not looking at all. So if you want to do the you've spoken too long stuff, forget it. I've had a guy years ago stand at the Bon Air, stood up and waved at me, and I missed him. Anyways, so I figure God just blinds my eyes. He wants me to preach his word. Anyways, so by faith, Rahab, having not seen, right, Jesus talking to Thomas, having not seen, she believed the reports of Yahweh's power and promise, and she believed. And why do we know? How do we know that she believed? It's because of what she did. She risked her life for her belief in Yahweh. We have heard what Yahweh has done in leading you out of Egypt. And we are melting with fear. The difference between Rahab and the Jericho, all intellectually understood it, yes? Intellectually believed it, yes? Because they were all melting with fear, yes? What's the difference between Rahab and the rest of the Jerichoites? They thought they could withstand it. They tried to kill the spies. They tried to do everything they could. What did Rahab do? She trusted in Yahweh and made him her God. Do you see? Total difference. And so you can know intellectually a whole lot of stuff, but it doesn't get you saved. It doesn't transform your life. It doesn't change the way you think. Metanoia, repent, change the way you think. Jesus, John the Baptist, Jesus, Peter, Paul, they all preach the message, repent, repent. Metanoia, change the way you think. You change the way you think if you don't change your belief structure. If you're still believing and trusting in your own righteousness, in your own ability to do what needs to be done, you'll never change. It's always struggling for me when I'm meeting people in counseling. And they're good. No, you're here because you're not. But they got the answers. You know, it's like talking to your kids as your kids raise up and they have all the answers. You know, I was there. I did that. And all the older people were looking at me. You did that too, you know, with your parents. You thought you had the answers, you know, and stuff like that. And then I'm starting to appreciate my dad more and more all the time. Because I realize what? He really did at that time what? Know a whole lot more than me. That's exactly right. And so, but by faith. Today we're going to continue this journey of faith. It's with Rahab, but now we've been looking at the church. And specifically, even here, the priests. I mean, this is exciting. As we see in Joshua, by faith, having to lead this nation into the land, believing that God was going to what? Do what he said he was going to do. He was going to fulfill promises through Joshua that he was going to need to be strong and courageous. And if he was strong and courageous and he followed God, strong and courageous spiritually, leads to strong and courageous physically. He was strong and courageous. This is going to bleed over, not onto Joshua, but onto all the rest of the nation here. And so, we begin looking at this in chapter 3 with prayer. Because Yahweh came to Joshua and told him to do what? Prepare the people. Prepare the people, sanctify the people, because tomorrow, I'm going to be what? I'm going to do a wonderful thing. And so, physical preparations began to happen. Joshua came to the people, and he moved them of a miracle. He moved to the special. Do you see it? He knew, faith, God was ready to do something. Who did God tell? Joshua. Who told the people? Joshua. God only told Joshua. God didn't come down in the clouds with a megaphone saying, "All right, people, I want you to listen to Joshua now because he's the new leader, and tomorrow I'm going to lead you all through the..." It didn't happen that way, did it? Good job. That's exactly right. It didn't happen that way. He told Joshua. And then Joshua had to turn around and tell the people. The people had to believe Joshua. And Joshua had to mobilize a million people. I mean, think about it. How hard it is sometimes just to mobilize your family. Okay? I mean, it takes more than a day. I don't know, you know. 6 months from now, we're going to take a trip. Let's start planning right now. Anyways, but he mobilized a million people and got them to the brink of a miracle. But it's only the brink. It's only the brink. He had to physically think about all the administrative details that had to come in moving all these people. And so he moves throughout the camp, we're told. He moves throughout the camp, and he's... I'm sure there's a whole lot more going on. We've got food to think about, don't we? I mean, there's the order of movement. There's the this and that. But one of the administrative details that is given to us that's very specific here, and it's going to come into play. I won't tell you because I don't want to get you to that. How far away do people need to be to the ark? 2,000 cubits. Okay, a cubit is equal to 18 inches. 18 inches, that's a foot and a half. So 2,000 cubits is equal to 3,000 feet or 1,000 yards. 1,000 yards is what? 10 fields. That's exactly right, okay? So if you can't think of it any other way, you got to think 10 football fields. That's how close the people were allowed to be to the ark as they came in. He said, but you got to be that because you got to follow it and you don't want to get lost. Any further than that, you may not see it anymore, you know? So you need to be there, so you need to follow it because you need to know the way. But you can't get any closer than that. Until when? No, it doesn't stay this way, but... Until it gets wet. Well, no, it's not going to get wet. Well, but until the water stops, that's right. Because you're going to pass by it. Think about it. You're going to pass by it on the way into the land. But don't be close to it. It's kind of like... That Ark of the Covenant is the picture of what or who? Of God Himself. Say again. Jesus. Of God. Do you remember when God came down upon the mountain of God and Moses got the... What instructions were the children of Israel? What did they get? Don't come near the mountain. Don't even touch the mountain. They had to stay a distance away. What? Respect and reverence. God is my Abba. He is my Daddy. He is my eternal Father. But He's still God. He's still the Holy One. He's still the Creator of our universe. He is the one who breathed the breath of life into me. And He is the one who I am told in the Word of God that is a consuming fire. He is the one that Paul, the preacher of grace, stated in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, therefore, knowing the terror of the Lord, the fear of God, I persuade men. There is a respect that needs to be given. There were the spiritual preparations. The people, as we read, the people were supposed to prepare themselves. They were supposed to, verse 5, chapter 3, sanctify themselves. Set themselves apart. Hey. So, there was at some point you made a decision to come today. Now, hopefully it was last week when you left. But anyways, regardless of what it was. Maybe it was 8:30 this morning, you know, you just couldn't get back to sleep and said, well, I might as well go to church. No, I hope not. Anyways, did it cross your mind? Or just, you know, I'm going to look down. Anyways, did it to set yourself apart in order to come worship God? To be in His presence? As New Testament believers, resides where? In our hearts. So I am always what? In the temple of God, I'm the temple of the Holy Spirit. God resides within me, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. They reside within me. John chapter 14, John chapter 15, 16. 1 Corinthians chapter 2, 1 Corinthians 3, 1 Corinthians 6, Ephesians chapter 1. I mean, all discussing the presence of God within me. Galatians chapter 2, I'm crucified with Christ, therefore I no longer live, but it's Christ who lives in me. So I understand again the factoid. I understand the biblical truth. But do I seek to be fully set apart, to be sanctified? Peter was talking to the brethren, the elect of the dispersia, when he said to them, be ye positionally set apart. I'm looking forward to my eternal setting apart one day. I know that I have a struggle to set myself apart when I know God is going to be in our midst. Time to prepare to work with God. If we were set apart, if we really believed that God could do an amazing thing, that we could see the powerful, wonderful works of God in our midst. I'm not talking about healing services. I'm talking about salvations. I'm talking about reaching this community. I'm talking about not just reaching South Columbia. I'm talking about reaching Blue Ridge Elementary. I'm talking about I firmly believe when Jesus there are people out there who are waiting to be saved. They don't know it. God wants to do a mighty work. Jesus said to the disciples, and they said to him, why couldn't we cast this demon? Boil it down into one. This kind only comes by you setting yourself apart ahead of time, not after the fact. You can't wait until the priests get in there and then sanctify yourself. You've got to be sanctified now. Because if you're not, the priest will never go on into the river. Do you get it? You can't wait for after the miracle. As we shared in Sunday school, Ephesians chapter 6, Paul challenges the brethren to do what? Be strong in the Lord and in the power of. And put on the what? Whole armor of God. Why? Why? That you may be able to. And so as I shared about the illustration with Ben, with his putting on his vest, for those who don't know, Ben works out at the Columbia County Jail. He's a sheriff's deputy. And because he's one of a deputy, he has the gun. And so you have to have a gun in order to work the reception desk or whatever. So he wears it. He had it on this morning, you know, and Ben, the vest, you know. And when he went on the perimeter patrol, you know, because he had his vest on, and they were hurting his vest on, he said, what are you worried about the deer shooting you? And this was right after the state patrol officers shot. Okay? And he said, no, but I bet you didn't expect. I don't put on my vest because someone has told me, hey, I have on my vest in case something happens. Armor, because I am in a war. And I promise you, then yourselves. Because God wants to do a mighty work. All the world operation. I don't think we take it seriously. In God's and in His Word. Every day. Now, I understand there's times when you miss. Things happen. I understand that. Is it your pattern? Is it your plan? Is it that which you work toward? You wake up an hour early of when you got to leave because you know you want to spend at least a half an hour in the Word. Again, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal because I'm not perfect. But if I got to meet somebody at 6:45 in the morning, that means I got to get up at 5:30. Because it's going to take me time to get where I'm meeting the person. It's in the bathroom, and I want 45 minutes, half hour to 45 minutes in God's Word and in His presence. That's a minimum. The only way that's going to happen is if the minute I know when my first appointment is, I got 15 minutes ahead. Do I want to do that? No, I want to sleep until 8 or 9 o'clock. But I am ready to commit spiritual suicide. You heard me. I was with my family. I wouldn't have known. Things I let schedule take away my quiet time. It's my life source. I learned lessons. I can tell you, if my quiet time journal, now I'm not really doing that right now, I'm staying away from it because of legalism right now, but as a whole, I have this quiet time journal that if it's empty for a period of time, I haven't been in God's. Does that make sense? We ask, why am I struggling? Why am I worried about whether I'm going to go into the Jordan River? Because I haven't been sanctifying myself. Yourselves. God wants to do anything in your midst. The command to prepare. Well, now we have the event. The event. The event. The expression of faith. It's good. It's easy to say, yes, God's going to give us the land. Yes! So God waits. Now, get this. God didn't just say cross the Jordan. Certain times of the year, that's not a big deal. The Jordan isn't necessarily like the mighty Mississippi. Okay? Flood stage. It was overflowing its banks. You read that, right? When we read through it? It's overflowing its banks. Listen, you don't... I'm thinking New York, and I'm thinking a few years ago, right? And I'm thinking of all those houses that were swept downstream, yes? Okay? And I'm thinking of Houston. Those were just creeks. People crossed those. Not a big deal. But I bet you that when they came to the bank of them, what happens to the bank of a river when it's at flood stage? It becomes soft and gone. See, it's one thing when you have to do a mighty thing, a step of faith, to go across the creek. Whether you might slip on the stone. Instead of, you know, putting water shoes on and just walking through the water. You want to think of Canada, yeah? You know, we don't want to get our feet wet, yeah? So we try to step from stone to stone, and every once in a while the stones are what? Mossy. They're slippery. That's a mighty, mighty act of faith to cross one of those creeks. No, not really. But you come to the Jordan at flood stage. I want you to walk through it. Now that's an act of faith. Think about these priests. Everybody in the camp has great faith, don't they? I mean, they're rah, rah, rah. You tell me who had the greatest faith in that camp. It was the two guys up front. It was the two priests. Now I start to wonder this week, I was meditating on this week, I never thought about this side of it. And if I did, it was years ago, and it's all new to me, so it's great. Anyways, and when you get my age, you understand that. You know, thoughts go away, and you think about them again, you think they're all new, and it's great again. Anyways, Matt's telling me that this week. Matt, you know, Matt, Dad, you're repeating yourself a lot. You're forgetting the things you said. I said, but there's... Anyways. It's awesome. Anyways, but... And they send the 12 spies into the land, and they come back, and the 10 spies were bad, and they tell the people, don't go, you know, cause just grasshoppers. But Joshua and Caleb are saying, no, it's great, it's great, it's great, right? And so at that point, they're stuck in the wilderness for what? 40 years. What was the punishment on the people? Who died? And over. Everybody over the age of 20 died. That meant everybody under the age of 20 what? Lived. So potentially, other than Joshua and Caleb, the oldest person here was what? 59-ish. I wonder, these two guys up front were 18, 19 years old when they came through the Red Sea. And they've been yearning and waiting for this moment. How many of you watched the movie Glory? Have you ever seen the movie Glory? It's a good movie. You have. Okay, one person. It's about the Civil War, and it's about the taking, I think, of McMultry, Fort McMultry. I think it is. I think it's down in Charleston area, McMultry. And It was a land battle. It would be a suicide. And I'm going to mess up on the number, but Massachusetts Regiment. And they had white officers, but they wanted to be the unit to go up front, to pave the way to victory. Unless somebody is willing to put their feet, the people aren't going to get across. Does it make sense? Somebody has to walk up at flood stage and when do you think it went dry? The minute the sole of the feet hit it. I mean, that means it's flood, it's flood, it's flood. Gone. Whoa. What, I mean, how cold would that have been? And there were only six people who had a guys were on a playing field. Yeah? And so there's six whatever. There are all they all sat. They're up in peanut heaven. They're watching from 1,000 yards away. Could you imagine the eruption from and when you the Jordan River? Oh, the elation that must have gone on. I can't imagine what it felt like to be that guy in front of the ark who had his foot going down into the Jordan and the guy next to him. Could you imagine that? I mean, it's like, yes, God. I mean, you're just like, yeah, I believe, I believe, I believe, I believe. Whoa, God, that was so cool, you know? I mean, you know, and you just keep, what, walking on. Well, then, after what? They follow him. Now, look, that sounds exciting. But could you imagine, like, it's like the people through the Red Sea. Wonder if you... fish came alongside or whatever, that way, okay? Can you see, it's kind of dry in the background. What's wrong with that picture? All the people. Did someone say all the people? Yeah, all the people. They're not there. See, because they're just going into the Jordan. These people aren't there. I had another one I was going to put up, and I didn't show it because they had the waters was standing up on the side. And I said, well, that's not right. The water wasn't standing up on the side there. Where was the water at? It was way back up at Adam. Okay, it was way upriver. Now, the liberals like to tell you that what happened there, there was an earthquake upriver, okay, and there was a limestone cliff up there down and dammed up the river. Could that have happened? Yes. Yes, it could have. It could have happened. But you know what's really us? That it all happened... it would have happened earlier, think about it, so that the effects of it happened just as... it's always amazing to me when a liberal wants to try to disprove a scripture or a miracle. And all they do is what? Make it even more amazing. I mean, you know, just... and then the cliff went back up. Oh, there is some evidence up there that there could have been in some time past, and that's why they say that. It wrote it just at the right moment. It's just, isn't it amazing? I mean, you know, I just think people will go to such great lengths of faith and belief to not believe what is evident right in front of them. Isn't it amazing? But think about these people. They go walking through not knowing what? Whether the waters are going to... if something is holding it back... when that which is holding it back, the dam, breaks, what's going to happen? It's not just going to flood, it's coming down with a passion. Do you make sense? Now you got a lot of water coming on down. Viscosity would be great. People are flooding away. There's no holding your ground against it. You're gone. The expression of faith was walking into the river, walking through the river. The effect of when their feet dipped into the edge of the Jordan, the water stopped upstream. And I don't think about it. It didn't happen until the priests did what? They dipped it in. You want to see God work? You want to see God do mighty things? Put your feet in the river. Don't talk about it. Quit talking about it. Quit waiting for it to happen so you can do it. Do it! When we started church, I didn't understand a job. But God had a real estate lady call me up. She said, "Bob, I heard you started a new church." How did she hear? I have no idea how she heard. I said, "Yeah, that's right." She says, "Could you use work?" Work would be good. Beans on the table is better than nothing on the table. That sounds like a great idea. And from that point, he started Corbin Home Maintenance. I just started doing cleanouts. And then I started doing some repairs. I started doing some painting. And then I started doing this. And then the job, I had five jobs. I was driving. And so the trucking thing went away. Somebody else was teaching the kid Greek, and he says, "What's your wife doing?" I said, she's being a good wife. She's looking for me for work. He said, "Well, slide aside. You know how to do that kind of stuff, but guess what? You can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Oh, we got work for you." And so he puts me with a painting crew, and they find out that I can do all these other things, and they make me the guy who's going to go in these new homes and fix all the problems, and then he sends me to a guy all the time that do all these repairs, and he happens to be a landscape architect who's doing the thing for a millionaire, and they're commiserating over their builders, and out of the blue, I get a call from a millionaire who wants me to come finish his house. What? I said, "Did you call Corbin Home Maintenance?" He says, "Is this Bob Corbin?" I said, "Yeah." He said, "Yeah, you're the guy." That's why we became an LLC. I had to protect my family. I don't. But now, full remodels and houses and it. I don't understand. I've never advertised. But I said, "Do you want some work? All you got to do is cross the river." And so again, I'm not putting myself on a pedestal, but it's amazing what God can do when you put your feet in the river. Make sense? Don't think you can't do it. What if it doesn't work? If God's in it, it will work. That's the key. If God's in it, it will work. Like with Awana. Why charge people for books? I've been so opposed to that. Why are you going to get somebody to come in, get a kid to come in and you say, "It'll cost you $10 to have this memory book"? That's stupid. It's going to cost you $8 to have a t-shirt so you feel like you belong. If God wants you to do Awana or whatever kid's program it is, then he'll what? He'll provide the finances. Steve and I, someone else and I earlier, and then I talked to the church leaders. Next year, camp, there may not be any charge for it at all. Just totally. This would be something that if people will donate, you know, you'll know what the costs are. Put an offering plate to cover it, and then that's what's, instead of having it out there, telling people, but if you covered it, then we're willing to come alongside you. Forget that, because you know as well it's a struggle. You don't say what? I need help. Okay? So just make it, because we want everybody to what? We want everybody to go. So then he's going to work on people's to do what? To provide for it. But that's a step of faith. And I remember the previous church I was at, again, we had family camps. And that became a battle. Because the American mindset was starting to flood in there with the pay-as-you-go and all that kind of stuff. No. No. That is not what the early church taught. The early church taught the needs of those who don't have. The impact of their faith. The people crossed the Jordan. Because of the faith of the priest, the entire nation got across. But look at this next one. The heart of the nations, what? Melted. That's why we read chapter 5, verse 1. They heard about the Red Sea. They heard about it. But can you imagine in all those nations when they heard? It was dammed up. Through on dry ground. And the minute they were done going through it, they had spies on the other side. Yeah, they had LPO. Post. They were out there. Jericho was primed. Remember, their hearts were melting. They don't know what's going on. I'm sure they had numerous people out there checking it out. Could you imagine the reports at one moment? Was that the grasshopper now? Oh, yeah. These people, they they're still not believing. But their hearts are what? But their hearts are melting. Look, God wants to do a mighty work through you. Not for you. That the world may know. That the world may know that He is God. That He is Yahweh. That He is the one true God. They got a lot of gods out there. Well, finally, quickly, the memorial. The placement of the memorials. First of all, one memorial was to be placed in the Jordan River. Second memorial was on the west side of the Jordan River. That before they went over, they were supposed to take 12 guys were supposed to take 12 big stones, and they were supposed to make a memorial in the midst of the river. And then they were supposed to take a stone from the middle of the Jordan, not the same stone, another big stone from in the Jordan River, and carry it to the west side of the Jordan River, you know, on the Jericho side. And they're supposed to make so that people could see. Would know. Well, what was the purpose of them? First of all, primarily for your children. Your children are going to come down here one day. You're going to go for a hike. You're going to go for a walk. You're going to go for a travel. Your kids are going to see it, and your kids are going to say, what? Where did a heap of stones come from? I'm thinking Canada again. You guys have been to Canada. The Golden Staircase. And just going to do this during. Again, that's coming up the last. It's there. I'll try to make applications. 12 and up, you can go. It's a great week. Guys only, yeah. Men and father-son retreat. For I don't know how many years. It was a Awanus camp. They asked me to up there. And they got out of the camping service, and they got rid of continued to do the camps up there. Anyways, the Golden Staircase, right? We go up the mountainside, we go around, then we go up the next mountain, right? And what's the age thing or whatever? People who have hiked that way have left mark. They get on that. But I'm sure it's the same concept, so that later on when they go, they can say, look, is. Well, the kids, why are these heaps of rocks here? About the heap of rocks. Let me tell you about what my God did. About what your God did. And how He led the people through. Memorials are so important for your children. Do you communicate to your kids what God did? Because we're doing Joshua, Judges, Ruth, right? When we get to the book of Judges, you're going to find out right in the beginning it says that after Joshua and the elders of his generation died, there arose a generation that knew not God. The people failed to communicate their faith. That's what's wrong with the United States, folks. We are not communicating to our kids. Again, as I shared in Sunday school, I don't get it. Blue Ridge Elementary doesn't have a Good News Club. Do we not have some huge churches in this area, hundreds if not thousands of people, and that can't spare 6 to 8 people to take the good news to the public school when the doors are wide open? The principal would love to have it. And so we as a little assembly are trying to figure out how we can not only do South Columbia, but also do Blue Ridge Elementary. Now, I don't say that pridefully, and I don't say that judgmentally, a little bit judgmentally. But I don't get it. I just don't get it. If this real. This is real. It ought to change our priorities. It ought to change our life. It ought to change our plans. It ought to change everything we do, because I know that I may not live tomorrow and I'm going to meet my Maker. To be absent from the body, to be present with the Lord. And as 2 Corinthians chapter 5, Paul says, I want the things that I do in my flesh to be pleased with God. I want to hear, well done, my servant. Not you, sluggard. You took what I gave you and you dug a hole and buried it. I want to walk through that Jordan River. I want to walk through the land. I want to see the powerful works of God being done in the lives of people. I want to see lives transformed. Turned upside down. I want the world not to be able to explain, because they can't comprehend it. I want my kids to know it's real for me. For the world, that all the peoples of the earth may know the hand of Yahweh, that it is mighty. It was a reminder as well to them. They're going to go down. The people of the world are going to see that pillar of rocks, and they're going to see the pillar of rocks where? During low water time. In the middle of the Jordan River, they're going to see one here, and they're going to go, oh, I remember that was when Yahweh brought his people into the land. We are to be like cities that are set upon a hill whose light cannot be hid. But we want to pull the blinds down. We don't want people to know we're here. We want to camouflage. Paul says, Romans chapter 12, be not conformed to the world, but rather be ye transformed in the renewing of your mind. Why? So that you could offer your body as a living sacrifice, which is your reasonable act of worship. It's for yourself, that you may fear Yahweh your God forever. Make yourself a listing. I challenged you a few weeks ago in this, in making a chronology, a history of how God has worked in your life. Don't tell me yes or no. Have you done it? It's amazing to see what God has done in your life and to be able to go back to that over and over again and remind yourself how what God is doing in your life to prepare you for this moment. He's prepared you to step into the Jordan. It is for you. Waste our time. So in the end, are you seeking to sanctify yourselves? Do you believe that God will perform in your presence? Could there be a correlation between the two of those? If you don't believe that God's going to do it, maybe it's not because you're not sanctifying yourself. But I promise you, if you're spending time in prayer and fasting before God, and you're spending time in His Word continually, you're coming faithful in what He wants to do. I believe time is growing short. There's no time to waste. Redeem the time. If you were the leading priest, would the children of Israel still be on the east side of the Jordan River? That's a statement, isn't it? I mean, I have to ask myself, man, I'm not asking you, I'm not asking me. If I'm that first guy, and I'm seeing that flood water, did I step in? Are we reading it? Or is there a whole new history being written because of my lack of faith? What step of faith are you willing to take? Trusting in the provision and protection of God. God will provide, and God will protect. Is there a need? Repent. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for your love. I thank you for your word. Thank you that it is powerful and sharp. I thank you, Lord, for the testimony of Joshua, and for Israel, and for these priests who by faith took that step into the Jordan, believing, knowing, trusting that you were going to do that which you declared you would do. and it changed the world, Lord. Just as the faith of those 11 disciples who followed Christ changed the world. By faith, to follow the path that you have set for us. Of the Jordan River, or whatever other obstacle you may allow on our path to glorify your name. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I think we